Welcome back to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Woodworth. And another fun show here today, boys and girls. We get to hear about some adventures with meat that Jeremy has experienced. A couple of tales of the holidays. And some local friends that we all know and love that, I don't know. Jeremy, listen, at one point Jeremy goes off, okay? Truth be told, get ready. Set the fucking detonation alarm to midnight because he's about to snap. Hey, you're new listener to the show. Welcome. Thanks for joining us in. This is part two, so you might want to go back and listen to part one of this, one episode back. But if you could, you enjoy the show, you love us, you do it, drop us a five-star rating on whatever player you listen to us on. We really appreciate it. It helps us out a lot, costs you absolutely nothing, and means the world to us. So without further ado, get strapped in, turn that volume up to 11, and get ready for the Reflecting Skin, part two.
Hello, kiddies. It's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
Quality Time, video games, all the thrills, comedy and adventures. Quality Time, video games, all the thrills, comedy and adventures.
Is that the new intro to the show?
Yeah.
Oh, God. You have a Jeremy, this leather jacket, you've gone gross with power now. I don't like it.
I'm pretty sure we're working on the new fetish listener group. So.
The fetish listener group.
Yeah,
okay.
Fetish listener group, so that are into leather. All I do is think about Carrie Ann Moss's butt.
Too hot for leather.
Hell bent for leather.
Oh, that's good. Well, welcome back to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Eric Woodworth, joined by my brother, my blood, Jeremy P.
For those that are into leather, this is your new show to listen to. We'll just rub our leather jacket in different times during our broadcast.
Welcome to Leather Rub, starring Eric and Jeremy. I can't make any leathery sounds. Only Jeremy can.
No, what the... You need your skin like really, really dry to be able to make
Jeremy,
this
what did you say? So, Jeremy, you have a new leather jacket or maybe used, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's used.
What was the first thing you said when you walked in with this thing on?
It's my new Tom Myers look.
Yes, so. You look like Tom Myers. Yeah. That's good.
Or what's his name from Rescue Me?
David Duchovny.
Cy Sperling.
Cy Sperling.
Yeah,
Rod Serling.
Rod Serling, yeah.
That's good, okay.
And now for a new leather jacket on the Twilight Zone.
Ooh, leather jacket.
I'm Cy Sperling.
Yeah. So, Jeremy, I don't know, have you watched any of the Witcher show?
No, is it a show? I thought that was a movie.
It's a game, actually.
Oh, a game.
Jeremy, this Witcher show on Netflix, first of all, it's not great, but they have a bard in it who, like, makes songs up about the Witcher, and I'm not going to lie, this song is a low-key banger right here. Have you not heard this yet?
No.
Oh, Jeremy, wait till you hear it when it picks up.
They came after me. Is this real?
This is in the show, yes.
broke down my lute and they kicked in my teeth. While the devil's horns minced our tender meat, and so cried the witcher, he can't be bleed. Toss a coin to your witcher, O Valley of Plenty, O Valley of Plenty, oh. Toss a coin to your witcher, O Valley of Plenty.
Anyway, it's good. The Witcher show is pretty fun to watch.
Can I tell you who is my favorite? It's Rutger Hauer as the Hitcher.
The Hitcher. So. Toss a coin to your Hitcher, O Valley of Plenty. He'll rip you apart, see.
Can you pause it for a second and see if you can find the legendary bard by
Yeah, John, well, or you could just talk. You could just talk while it happens.
Yeah,
the legendary bard, you
John
say.
John Langworthy.
Okay, sorry. I didn't know it was a John Langworthy,
John Langworthy
Ridge.
Which is by far my favorite John Langworthy song. So.
Or the legendary bard?
Yes.
All right,
please
let's see.
Please tell me they actually have this.
American Band Show, John Langworthy, the legendary band.
No. Has to be the
Spies
bard.
Everywhere. Legendary band, go. I think he's just called the Legendary Band.
Well, is it actually a song that is, he's actually playing there? There is a song called The Legendary Bard.
Okay, let's see if I can find. Legendary Bard.
Whether somebody else has done it by that name, it's the Langworthy version that deserves all love.
I don't see it, man. I don't see it. You know, that's too deep of a cut. Too deep of a cut, Jer.
Son of a bitch.
You know, they can't all be winners.
Well,
there.
I'm going to have to bring in the CD then.
Well, Jeremy, if you haven't seen The Witcher, first of all, again, not a great show, but pretty good. The violence in it is top-notch. I mean, there's this one fight scene where The Witcher comes out and he swings his sword and, like, halves this guy's, like, cheek like this and, like, cuts into his jaw and then takes the sword and then opens him up like a fucking like tuna can and just flips his whole face open like the fucking monster in Beetlejuice was like that.
Right.
It's pretty good. So high level
the
of
Witcher.
Violence. Yeah, The Witcher.
Was that, is that on Disney?
It's a Disney Plus show. No, it's a Netflix, a Ridge.
Oh, Netflix.
Netflix Ridge. So yeah, you gotta check out the Witcher. The Witcher. The Witcher.
My favorite, guy from, that movie. Switcher! One sick puppy. That's right, mannequin. Yeah, Switcher.
Okay, got it.
Switcher.
Now I'm in it. Now I'm in it.
That actor, James Michener?
Yeah, James Michener.
Yeah.
I know all about him. Big, big time name in the biz.
You know that director, David Fincher?
Yes, David Fincher, yeah.
He's a great director.
That clown from the movie, I don't know, isn't it named Stitches? Stitcher? Something like that?
Stitches, yes.
Stitches the clown?
Yeah.
The legendary clown. Now, Jeremy, a couple of weeks ago, well, let me take you back into 2019 real quick, okay? Somewhere during the year 2019, I had a power surge here at the house.
A power surge!
Things were shut down. Things got reset. Apparently, a breaker didn't click back on, and my freezer down here slowly thawed, which I had about a quarter side of beef in, okay?
Yes.
So I opened up my freezer to just find a pool of blood and thawed meats that God knows how long it had been since they were unfrozen. But it
probably
was
just
such
like
a
week or two.
Such a horror that I saw down there that I decided, I was like, I can't even deal with this right now. I flipped the breaker back on. Freezer started running. I was like, I'm just going to refreeze this and just clean it later. I can't even handle this right now. So it got to cleaning day. I come down here to start cleaning it out. But Jeremy decided that, hey, you going to throw that meat out? Hey, you throwing that meat out? I was like, yeah, I mean, thawed. I'm pretty sure this is not a grade A cut anymore. You're like, no, leave it frozen. I'm coming back next week with a cooler and I'll bring it back. I was like, why? You could just leave it in the sun at this point. It won't matter. But you insisted that I give you this meat. You collected it. And do you want to try to ad-lib the text that you sent to me, or do you want to just tell
exactly
me
what I sent you? So.
So I got an update from Jeremy. Jeremy, how was the meat that you've collected?
Well, after I texted you, that was after how many times of vomiting. So, you know, the thing is, it's like, you know, it smells really bad, but you know it's meat, so you got to eat it.
You don't have to eat it.
And I was just like, oh, man, it just burns. You know, I just cooked it as full as I can, but it still burns in your mouth because of the meat going bad. And it's like, it just tastes real foul and sour and just bitter. But I have to eat it because it's meat. So
You literally don't have to do that.
Just try to cover it with as much, like, you know, steak sauce as possible. But it burns. So after several times of vomiting, I was like, only 10 more steaks to go.
Yeah, so I thought you texted it best to me. He said, hey, thanks for the meats. They smell really bad and burn when I eat them. After a couple hours of swelling and my face goes down.
I forgot swelling. So.
I'm perfectly fine. Only 10 more to go.
So I look like a Shar Pei in my face. Hey, did you have that? No.
No, I didn't eat it.
Does it look like I'm infected?
No. God damn it.
Man, my immune system is strong now. Strong with the force.
Hell yeah, brother.
Strong. Freaking
yeah. So the meats are working out. Are they really rancid and you're dying? Are you going to be able to eat them all?
I'm just telling you that to try to make you feel better because they were perfectly fine.
Okay, cool. By the way, I told this story to the guy at work who went halvesies on buying the other half of me. He's like, you know, I have all that. Do you think your brother would want it? It's like 100%. Did it not thaw out at one point? You're giving him a prime cut of meat 100%. So Jeremy, you have double that coming to you very soon.
Oh gosh,
you're about
to
get
so much meat. I feel so much better than John Link that people will give me food because I can't really afford it. So
it's nice, isn't it? It's a good feeling.
By the way, I shouldn't have even bought this jacket because I can't even afford it. So
how much was it?
$25.
I think you could afford $25. I'll Venmo you the $25.
I can literally afford nothing because my job has not been full, even close to 40 hours. So.
Well, but you're still working. How is the pallet jacking?
Monday, I did something I had never done before.
Oh yeah.
I ran over a wood block that literally made the pallet jack jump.
Nice.
And that really hurt bad when you come down on a pallet jack because you were standing while riding it. And I just remember riding it. I'm thinking, thank God I didn't turn this thing in a different direction after doing it. And now my back hurts for a good couple seconds, and my knees are shaking because I'm so scared that I didn't see this large block of wood that I ran over with it. So,
man, tough stuff.
Sean actually warns you of such things. Your buddy, your Jew friend,
your Juden friend.
He's like, hey. Freunden. He's like, you ever run over a block with him? I'm like, no. Oh, you will. So, oh, last night. New record for one of the new kids that literally probably took an entire couple boxes of blueberries and spread them within a 20-foot radius of where he had dropped them. And literally, there's no doing only so much shoveling and so much sweeping that the entire 20-foot area is stained with blueberries now, as if, you know, Lucy and her friend Ethel had been just like stomping them into the freaking cement. It's awesome.
Hell yeah, brother.
And, you know,
hell fucking yeah.
I like to think that these pallet jacks are filthy with so much, you know, of vegetable debris that we run over that there's got to be rotting food underneath all of these things. And it's like, you know, you'll go all night and then you'll finally reverse is like, oh, there's that avocado or mango that I've been dragging underneath this thing for like 5 hours straight.
It's an avocado.
Avocado.
It's not a normal one, an avocado.
Avocado. Armadillo.
An armadillo.
Armadillo. So.
Armalado.
How we got armadillos into this place, I don't know.
I have no idea either. How does that even happen? What sorcery is this?
Yes. And it's good. I've never seen any rats or mice around the place. I know we have traps, but gosh, there's a lot of food in that joint. But it's freezing also, so it'd have to be a really warm animal. So
that's true. That's true. Not enough foxes around there.
By the way, when I load up bananas,
yeah,
I'm doing like 30 boxes of bananas.
There. 30 boxes of bananas.
50 pounds each, and I'm sweating balls off unless I take my hat off. So, because that's almost like a regular thing. That's like 50, 60 degrees in there.
Whew.
So sweat my balls off if I don't.
Then
you go back into the cool area where it's like 40 degrees and you're running at like 20 miles an hour on that thing. You're like, woo, cool area, baby.
Woo,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Back in it. I finished the game Jedi Fallen Order recently.
Oh, I thought, you were just playing. Were you playing like an online version?
Now I'm going and trying to explore the secrets stuff. And let me tell you, spoilers for anybody who hasn't played, maybe flip like 5 minutes into it, but if you don't care, it's about to happen. You get to a point, Jeremy, at the end of the game where you beat like the main antagonist you've been chasing, who's this lady who's like a apprentice of Vader. She's like one of the Inquisitors, and you beat her, right? And then
is that the bald chick?
No, it's
with
not.
A red
it's not the chick.
In each hand.
No. But she is the same type of chick. She's an Inquisitor, so she hunts down Jedi. But this one is a different one that they created for the game.
She's the voice of like Eartha Kitt or something.
I don't know who that is, but yes, sure. Well, for the sake of the argument, I'll go with that. Because that'll help with where I'm trying to get. So
whoever it was in the cartoon, it was pretty sure it was a black woman's voice. So,
but right after you beat her, she Vader shows up and he's like, and you're like, oh shit, it's about to go down. But they immediately just mentioned, they were like, you're like, that's Lord Vader. He's just like, you only run from Lord Vader. You don't ever try to fight him. So he comes in, fucking strikes down the thing for failing, and then you're facing off against him, and you're like, he's just standing there, so you're like, he doesn't move at all. You go over to attack him, and he just immediately force grabs you and starts choking you like this, like with one arm, and the only thing you could do is like, you look up and there's like this giant canister on the wall, so you use the force to try to crush him with it, like, ah! And he sees it coming, and then he lets you go to stop it. And then the last level is just you running through the ship as he's just destroying it behind you and like breaking metal and throwing things at you, and you just look behind and it's just like, oh my god, he's right behind me constantly. So it was pretty badass. It was a really good ending to the game. I enjoyed it immensely. And they make Vader pretty strong. He like strikes down your master as you're running, like your master like sacrifices himself, and he's just like, go ahead, run, Cal. And she starts to get the better of him. He's like, good, I feel the dark side in you. I can feel you using it against me like that. And then she like holds back, and then he literally just fucking eviscerates her. Oh god, it's so it was a nice little piece of video game.
I must say I was very happy with Baby Yoda even trying to strangle somebody on the Mandalorian.
God,
so.
Isn't it, you know, the end of the Mandalorian, it makes me sad because now we have to wait until the fall to get more Mando.
Can Giancarlo Esposito get a better part anymore? He has gotten the best four best freaking parts in the last 5 years.
Yeah, so he plays Gus from Breaking Bad and A Better Call Saul. And who else is he? Who else?
Well,
what are the other two?
He's obviously in the new Godfather of Harlem show, where he plays an evil priest. Obviously the new Mandalorian, where he's the dark side lightsaber guy.
Mm-hmm.
But there was one more. Just
he's
like
in the Creepshow.
Creepshow, that was a good, that was another good role, but
nice
there was another
role.
One. I was gosh.
Where's this other role that you think
there's
of?
There's one more I forgot. I can't think of my top of my head. But I am so happy to have met him, what, 5-6 years ago, right after Breaking Bad, and there was no lines.
Yeah,
no,
now he's
to see him.
Now he's a big deal though. Now you'll never get to meet him again.
And I was a fan of him because of Homicide. So, but Breaking Bad was definitely awesome. So
I don't know if we ever talked about this on the show, Jeremy, but weeks past, you went to the Bacon and Beer event. Did you not? You
yes,
want to talk
did we,
about?
Did we not talk about that?
I don't
on
think
the
we
show.
Did talk about it. Do you want to talk about yes. your event going to visit Justin Schlegel at Maryland Live Casino?
Yep. Yeah, of course, I got my wife to make me a special Santa hat, which I had her spell out the word Satan on it instead of Santa.
Dyslexic Santa.
Which I thought was cute. And I got a bad t-shirt, which was another fat guy wearing the same Santa t-shirt that I was.
Another Satan t-shirt?
No, a Santa t-shirt, not a Satan one. Although I'm sure they make them. So, yeah. So I saw David Shofar there.
Oh, the Shofar.
And he recognized him. We talked for a couple of minutes.
Of Dave Shofar Photography. Shout out Uncle Dave Photography. Doesn't even have a cell phone anymore. He has a real DSLR. Do you believe that?
DSLR?
Yeah, DSLR.
Oh, yeah. A real camera.
He is a real one that isn't a cell phone. Yeah, so he's a real camera.
You know, a kid can buy a real camera these days.
Well, now he's up to kid status. So
you know, 18 megapixels is nothing by today's standards. I can get them for like $100.
I'm excited, though, because listen, Dave, listen, you could put a fucking bazooka in the hands of a child, but if you put it in the hands of Marion Cabretti from Cobra, that's a different fucking story, okay? It's all about the user that makes the art, not the material. And Dave, I will say this, if you're listening, you're a goddamn artist, sir.
Yeah, don't commit suicide. Keep doing art.
Yeah.
And stop being so whiny on your freaking Facebook posts.
He's never going to stop doing that. He's never going to stop. I like to gauge how Dave is doing. And, you know, there's a clock. It's called the suicide clock that I have for Dave. And right now, it's at midnight. All right. And it's close. It's about to strike
Dave,
any day.
Dave
now.
Is nowhere near the loser that I am. Is your body covered with sores? No. Have you had a job most of the year? Yes, you've had a fucking job.
Do you think
you don't even know what fucking real suffering is, you fucker? The only thing I fucking have going for me is my wife, and she should have left me years ago.
Okay, and that's
fair
enough.
Or she should have killed me. Anyway.
I like Dave's post. I like to know where he's at mentally, and he's always telling us about his sobriety.
I understand being socially fucking inept so that you don't get pussy on the regular or don't have a marriage. That can be real frustrating. But no, you can fucking learn that. You can be fucking Chris Restivo. You can be a fucking moron and still get pussy.
Oh, by the way, guess what? Speaking of Chris Restivo.
Yes.
Oh, man. So New Year's Eve, or I guess New Year's after New Year's, it's about 3 o'clock in the morning. I get a call from Chris Restivo. I'm at the hotel next to Magoobie's after the show. He calls me up. He goes, "What's up, motherfucker, blah, blah, blah."
I got a call at 2:35 in the morning.
I got a call. I answer.
And
because
I didn't answer.
I answer the call when Chris Restivo calls. Now, as you guys know, long listeners of the show, Chris Restivo, known homophobic gentleman, who we love messing with Chris. Okay, I don't ever miss an opportunity to mess with Chris Restivo.
I love homophobia.
He is a clothing mogul, owns 5 plated clothing, infamous comedian.
I've done so many gay things, I practically am gay, but I'm still homophobic.
Yes, 100%. Yes. So get this. Chris calls me up, and I have Sean. I'm in a room with Sean Gabbert, one of my cast members with Die Laughing Productions. Chris calls, and I start to I mention that Sean, who is not gay, I say, hey, my gay friend from the show, Sean, is here. He's like, oh, God. you're hanging out with a gay guy? I was just like, well, yeah, he's a really good friend of mine, Chris. He's like,
wearing a dress.
I got no problem with gay people. I just don't want to ever talk to him, and I want him to die. That's Chris, right? So we start talking, and I hear Sean goes, "Hi, Chris," like that, and he's like, and all I hear is Chris just going, "Oh God, no." So, I started laying the framework though for a bigger thing. So as Chris is going on and on, first he I say, hey Chris, he just pulled up your Facebook profile and Sean said he thinks that you're cute. He's like, oh God, tell him no. I don't like him. I'm not gonna do it with him or whatever. So he starts putzing around talking about some more shit, right? And I kind of leave that alone, right?
Gosh.
I leave that Sean's trying to hit on him, right?
Man. You know.
So then I broke down and I go, "Hey Chris, man, can I tell you something?" He was like, "Yeah, you can tell me anything. You're my friend, man." And so I go, "Chris, I was on Pornhub the other day, and I started watching this video, and I guess really quickly I realized it was two dudes. And he's like, okay. And I was just like, and he goes, and you turned it off, right? And I go, well, that's the thing, Chris. I started watching it, and I kind of liked it. I don't really know what to do. Oh my God, dude, why are you looking at dudes like this? So I started laying the groundwork to tell Chris Restivo that I'm gay. And we're going to see how it goes. The groundwork has been laid now. I've laid it out as a secret, and we're going to see.
Gay groundwork.
What do you think would hurt Chris more, if I tell him that I'm gay in front of him, or if I tell him that I'm a Green Bay Packers fan?
I always refuse to show any gayness except for how much I love show tunes. So,
well, you
did
do.
You see the new cat? It's fantastic. It's the best movie ever.
Man, I do want to see Cats, though. Cats looks terrifying.
All I need is pretty much women in tights, you know, dressed as animals is pretty damn hot.
So I mean,
dancing around.
Listen, you get that Hudson chick in here, and it is on.
You know, if they'd film that stuff in like a real cold studio, you know, things kind of get kind of percolating.
Their clits get to the size of small dicks. And that's where I like to be.
I have a name of a show tune I'd like to see, and it's called Camel Toe.
It's called Welcome to Camelot Toe, home of the camels.
It's fun for the whole family. I just like, well, I'm not bring the family every week. And then I go home and enjoy myself.
And then I masturbate quietly.
So anyway, Jared.
Some people, they masturbate to real porn. I masturbate to animal magazines. And dream their women in tights look like animals.
I don't like this at all. I don't like this at all.
Like the centerfold is like a chihuahua laid out with his, you know, his danglies just kind of showing.
Chihuahua danglies? Now. That's what you're into now?
Chihuahua danglies.
Ugh. You know, whenever I hear something like that, it just makes me go. anyway. Hey, Jer, are we ready to hop right back into it?
Part two.
Oh, man.
Of the reflecting skin.
Now, where we had
Soon
left off.
Soon we will learn what the reflecting skin actually means.
We've met our our players in the film, right? We've met young Seth, the Dove family.
There have been so many scenes where they look right into the camera. But what about the reflecting skin?
So we see we've met the sheriff who's trying to investigate the death of Seth's friend, Aben, who was found in their well, and grief-stricken dad who's being suspected for the murder lit himself on fire after pouring gasoline all over his body. So
sign of guilt.
Sign of guilt. So
started with a kiss.
The sheriff questioned young Seth and asked if he'd ever
has your dad ever touched you places
in your nether regions,
in the nether quadrant, you know, the peephole. He ever stick a digit in your dick hole
where your danglies are.
So, and Seth says, no, dad never touched me. And
have you ever been stung by a wasp?
That's where we're at now. So the crazy neighbor is walking by as the sheriff is questioning young Seth. Seth eyes her the fuck down. She goes over to talk to Cam. They begin flirting back and forth with each other. And Dolphin and Cam kind of have eyes for each other. There's a broken plot in the cemetery with a broken angel, and she goes, even angels lose their wings eventually. And as the sexual tension is flying within this mini graveyard on the property, Seth comes up and cock blocks his big brother, and Cam pushes him to the ground because she's spitting with the lady next door. So
I love every time that something happens bad to Seth, the music. Dun, dun.
So Seth and the other kid, Kim, are back on the move again and playing together. They head back to the hay barn where they uncover some hay. Remember if earlier in the last episode you heard some flies kind of hanging around
Can I say this is my favorite sequel to Stand By Me, where all the kids eventually die?
Gosh, I mean, this is... This is where the high strangeness really starts to kick into full gear here.
This is where Kiefer Sutherland wins the battle and kills all the children.
So
as the Lost Boys.
They uncover like this paper mache. It almost looks like a wasp's nest, right? And they open it up. And there is a dead baby inside. Just a dead, cold baby that's there. And the boys figure that this is Aben reborn as an angel because he was murdered, he doesn't have his wings, and that's why he's there.
Making mother cry.
Yeah, yeah. And so the boys are fighting over who gets to take the angel home.
My friend! He's my friend, too!
He liked me more!
You mean cry?
So did you! Oh, I want to keep it!
He pushes him to the ground.
I keep the angel.
Okay.
Angel, you're an angel.
You and your John Langworthy.
Sent from heaven. Angel.
I'm keeping the angel.
I like that now we've become a podcast that introduces the world to John Langworthy's music.
Everybody needs to know John Langworthy and the Reflecting Skin.
Man, what a beautiful piece of art.
I make my mother cry all the time. So I kill lots of angels.
So Seth is now walking around with this dead baby and talking to it as if it's an angel and his best friend, vowing to protect his brother from the evil vampire lady.
That's probably the most happiest time of the movie. It was just him talking to a dead baby.
Yeah,
so.
And he's just like, hey, you know, it's dangerous. That lady's crazy. What's that?
I'm pretty sure that Bob Zemeckis wanted to add the scene to Goonies where...
You call it Bob Zemeckis. You're on talking terms with Robert Zemeckis. So you just call him Bob.
Yeah, I call him Bob,
okay,
of course.
Okay, that's cool.
You know, because he really wanted to add the Goonies talking to a dead baby, you know, and maybe leading them to the secret treasure. So.
Dead baby, where's One-Eyed Willie, your father?
He's right over here, kid.
Except it smokes a cigar and is really cute. Man, I unplugged the sound. Somehow.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know.
There we go.
All right.
Woo! Scared.
That almost did it. Hey!
Scared.
So, Seth hides the baby in a box underneath his bed and then joins his brother Cam out in the dining room. His brother Cam shows him a picture of a Japanese baby that had mirror-like skin that's like some guy's holding with like a mask on. And I guess it's clearly supposed to be some kid that was in Hiroshima's blast range that got
a radioactive child.
Yes. So he's like, I like that Cam has three pictures in his thing. One is a picture of Seth and him, just like, oh, brothers. Another one is a tasteful nude that he has. He's like, don't ask me. I don't know who this lady is anyway.
Pornography from the 50s.
Yeah, hot 50s porn. And then a picture of a Japanese child who's glowing reflective from the Hiroshima bomb.
It has reflecting skin.
Yeah, reflecting skin. But they don't say reflecting skin. There's no titular line
almost,
in this film.
Almost
it's
reflecting.
So clue.
Very close.
So close, but not quite.
Titular line!
Da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. So there, you don't get the titular line drop. I'm sorry, fans. You guys don't get it. Only real titular line moments receive the titular line
song.
I'm
tired of all these Star Wars.
So, Seth asks a bunch of questions about him, but he doesn't know any answers to it. He starts to frustrate Cam, and he gives him all the pictures, including the sweet nudie pic.
Asking all these damn questions like kids do.
Now, Seth is still really scared for his brother because he believes that this bitch is a fucking vampire. He's fashioned a cross out of sticks that he's found in the yard that he sleeps with. Morning comes, and Cam goes over to head to Dolphin's house. This scares Seth awake, and he gets dressed and then goes to follow him over there. He comes in through the back door and then overhears them talk about the war and this weird, I guess, bomb fetish that she has.
The war in together. Laughter and cuddles.
You like those bombs, don't you?
Oh, I love them. Well, that noise. Explosions.
Oh, it just gets my pussy the wettest it's ever
and
been.
And the sounds of Stukas just coming through the night. Burning down my village and countryside.
I've seen the big ones, you know. Lots of them.
I've seen the big ones. He then goes on to tell her about the big bombs and the nuclear bomb exploding. She comes over to comfort him, and they then start making out and have, which is has to be the most odd sex scene I've ever seen in film.
You know, nothing gets a woman hotter than talking about nuclear explosions.
Oh, please tell me about all those yellow people you killed.
Tell me about
by
those
dropping bombs
Japs
on them.
That were vaporized.
Tell me about how your brothers were eaten to death by sharks in the Pacific, and your best friend, and your best friend who now hunts sharks.
Tell me about a shark's eyes. How it's like a doll's eyes.
This is the weirdest Quint prequel that you'll ever hear. Is knowing that Cam and Quint are from the same universe.
Sing that song to me. Farewell and adieu to you, fair Spanish ladies.
So Seth finally peers in to look at him and finds his brother nude, curled up in a ball in her arms. And he obviously, he just got his nut, you know? He's just sitting there because he's useless now. And he thinks that this bitch has fucking drained him of his life force. So he's freaked out.
Drained it from
and then,
something.
Decides to go run out of there. But as he runs out, he sees his buddy Kim out in the street. He's found the flag that they had left out there earlier. He's wearing it like a cape. And then the greasers in the black car roll up from earlier and fucking abduct the shit out of him. So we see Kim get abducted by the greasers, and Seth, you know what he does? He just goes home to have a wonderful night's rest. Doesn't even mention it to anybody. Doesn't seem important at all.
By the way, I don't think he's going to have to share the angel with Seth anymore.
Yeah. I just like that he sees his friend get abducted and doesn't even think. You're like, probably not important at all.
This
doesn't
is probably the most disturbing part of the movie. Your friend gets abducted and killed, and you don't say a fucking thing.
Yeah, you just say, I'm just going to keep this to myself.
It just shows that Seth is just probably the most evil person in the entire film.
Yeah, this kid is a piece of shit throughout the whole movie. He wrecks people's houses. He's like Dennis the Menace, but this is what Dennis the Menace would be in real life. He would just let you get fucked and molested.
He is literally like worse than Macaulay Culkin in the bad
God,
song,
it's
so.
The fucking worst, this kid. So,
see you later, you filthy animal.
He wakes up and then looks at his brother's comb to see that there's hair in it. So he's like, great, my brother's losing his hair. It's not an inordinate amount of hair in it at all either. It's just like that's what comes out when you comb your hair.
That's just what happens after you're really close to a nuclear bomb.
So he shows it to the dead ass baby Eben, I guess, baby angel, and he's just like, Seth is convinced that his brother's now dying.
Yeah, you know the best thing about nuclear testing, you get all these regular soldier like lamb types, and you're like, okay, we're gonna set off a nuclear bomb about a mile away from here. We'll be behind this lead shield here with our goggles on, with tiny little holes we'll be looking through.
Hey, why don't you go head out? Why don't you go get some readings? You'll be safe. Just get like 20, 30 feet away.
And we'll test you after we put this nuclear bomb explosion off. So.
So meanwhile, while he's doing all this and telling him about the comb, Eben's drunk-ass dad, Josh, is back on the scene, and he is not happy with the Dove family.
Murderer! Come out!
There's a rock through the house.
Murderer! Murderer!
Explain that, Josh! What's the matter with you? God damn it!
I want to...
So he's demanding that Pa come out, not realizing that he's dead, I guess. But, you know, Viggo Mortensen says, he's like, he's super fucking dead, you old drunk bitch. And they start fighting back and forth after he goes and tries to attack. Well, he doesn't go do this quite yet. He then has a little reflecting moment on himself.
God took them because of my wicked thoughts.
No, you don't have wicked thoughts. You just got some bad luck.
Oh, you don't know? My thoughts? Jesus, they're bad. I dreamt that I was sleeping with my goat. And I liked it.
After this movie, Josh put out his own album, so.
You don't know my thoughts. I had a dream that I slept with my goat. My goat. And I like it.
Jeremy, very good. I like that Josh album, man. I think that's gonna be a good one.
Yeah, he sold a lot of copies of that song called "Love with My Goat." So
he rushes over to attack Ma, and Cam gets involved
breaking the harpoon,
breaking it up, and he grabs the harpoon. This is Josh grabs the harpoon and starts fighting Cam with it. Cam grabs the spear end with his hand, gets his hands all sliced up. Obviously, some reference to Jesus, I'm sure, for this. You know, there's a lot of shit
harpoon
here.
Harpoon stigmata.
And then eventually, Cam is able to break it free and then knock out old man Josh.
Good PSA. Not to leave harpoons around when there's drunken people. So
now keep in mind, Seth still hasn't thought it's a good idea to tell about his abducted friend yet. Doesn't think to mention this even now, okay? Hasn't brought it up, all right?
Sheriff Picker might want to know.
We're gonna keep a ticker going here, all right? Now
ticker for Sheriff Picker.
So Seth goes in and starts tending to Cam's wounds inside, and then Dolphin comes over. Seth is worried about how happy he is to see her. They kiss in front of everyone, and Seth is fucking pissed. So later that day, he goes out by himself to the hay barn where they usually go hang out, where he found cool angel babies and where his friends used to hang out, right? So, but there he finds the police are there with Kim's mom.
Ask him!
Seth, have you seen Kim?
Now, what do you think Seth should say right here? Have you seen Kim?
I'm pretty sure I saw him getting abducted by those kids in the Cadillac.
No, he's lying!
No, immediately.
Of course he is. I can tell. You ain't got no kids who don't know their ways.
Tell me the truth, son.
I am.
Monster! He's hiding my Kim.
You hiding him, boy?
No.
I like how everyone in this movie sounds like they're drunk at one point. There's nobody who's sober in the film.
Everybody is completely insane in this movie and evil. Except for Cameron.
Of death of sin. Ain't that right?
No, ma'am.
Well, I'm telling you, boy, you're full of sin. Say it. Sin. Say it. Sin. Sin.
Sin.
Louder.
Sin.
Again.
Sin.
Again. Again!
Sin! Sin!
Look at him! He's enjoying it! Can't you see he's enjoying it? He's a monster!
No, that's it!
And then they pull out Kim's body from the hay barn, wrapped in the flag, dead as fuck. So,
you know, for how creepy, unbelievably creepy the religious people in this movie, they're dead on right.
Exactly. So
it's kind of like Carrie's creepy mom. It's like, okay, Carrie's creepy mom, a really vicious, horrible person, mm-hmm. but 100% on because she knows she has the witch's powers to bring on the devil. So.
That is true. That is true. So
you just light up your house with candles. So.
So the sheriff decides to give this small child a piece of his mind.
Every cop in the state on the job, and you know what I think?
No.
I think your pa's still out there dripping gasoline and killing children. You want to know what else I think? I think you got secrets locked up in here, and it's my job to get them out. Even if I have to crack you open like a peanut, you understand me?
Yeah.
Well, I hope you do, because whatever you got up there, I'm going to find it out. One way or another. I'm gonna get it out.
Oh, gosh.
Good job, Dragnet.
Still, Seth doesn't think this is a good time to come forward that he saw his friend get abducted yesterday.
Worst Scooby-Doo mystery ever.
So, and listen, let's put some of this onerous on Sheriff himself. He doesn't ask him when the last time he saw Seth was, okay? This is just simple police questioning that should happen.
You know, that other guy, he interrogated very well to make his dad kill himself.
Yeah, so. God, it's just, it's ridiculous.
He's like a regular Andre Brower.
So, Seth goes home and tells Cam why he thinks he's feeling old. Because Cam mentions that he's feeling a little bit older. He says, it's because that fucking bitch dolphin is a vampire. Didn't you know that, you dumb idiot?
That's nothing to do with that nuclear bomb you were close to that went off.
That's why you're getting older and she's getting younger. Cam tells Seth to leave him alone, but Seth follows him out, pleading behind her.
Faster. I love her. You understand? I love her. And she loves me. And I'm going away with her. I'm going to be happy. And there's not a damn thing you can do about it. You understand me? You hear me? Now shut up!
No!
You know, it was ever since this explosion at the power plant, I picked up this thing that looked like a rock, and my hands were bleeding after I picked it up. I don't know why, so...
There is no graphite on there because the reactor did not explode. So,
you know, graphite just flies out of nuclear plants all the time. You know, it's a normal day thing.
So Seth, now feeling isolated and alone, talks to that sweet dead fetus under his bed that night. He whispers to the angel baby who can hear talking back to him vaguely.
That's also my favorite Madonna song, Angel Baby.
He thinks he knows what to do, so he wakes up in the morning to confront Dolphin. He says, she says that she loves Cam and then drops a little knowledge on him.
Poor Seth. It's all so horrible, isn't it? The nightmare of childhood. And it only gets worse. One day you'll wake up and you'll be past it. Your beautiful skin will wrinkle and shrivel up. You'll lose your hair, your sight, your memory. Your blood will thicken. Teeth turn yellow and loose. Start to stink and fart, and all your friends will be dead. You'll succumb to arthritis, angina.
Not a vagina.
You'll piss yourself, shit yourself, drool at the mouth. Just pray that when this happens, you've got someone to love you. Because if you're loved, you'll still be young. Oh, innocence can be hell.
Oh, the background, the background is you see the Cadillac coming with that ominous music. By the way, the movie was good, but the Broadway version of it was that much better.
Nice. So, right as that happens, the greaser boys pull up in their black car, and just, they offer Dolphin a sweet ride home right into the city. She smiles and hops right in, looking at Seth, saying, "See you later."
And Seth just watches, like, "Ha ha ha, bitch, you're going to get killed just like my buddy was."
So,
can we say another favorite part of this movie is that she gets into the car with him. She gives that creepy fucking which makes it even more glad that she's gonna fucking die. He just knows she's gonna be dead. So,
Jeremy, I made a little song on her monologue. It's probably not the funniest song we've ever done, but it's a fun one.
You just know that it's real. This is actually STP. This isn't even you.
Yeah, this is an unreleased Stone Temple Pilots song.
One day you'll wake up and you'll be past it. Your beautiful skin will recolor and you won't have it. You lose your hair, your sight, your mind. Time's a bandit. Your blood will thicken, your teeth will fall, you'll feel abandoned. You'll start to stink and fart and piss, your bowels disbanded. You'll drool from the mouth and be alone, you'll be stranded. Of living life so good. That's the nightmare that is childhood. Oh, no, no, no. That's the cruelty of living life so good. It's the nightmare that gets worse.
Thank you. That was the reflecting skin with the nightmare of childhood.
There you go. The nightmare of childhood. Now, Jerry, I recorded that song earlier today, but I had an outtake for it that I wanted to share with you. Let me see if I can just pull up. Hold on. Let me get here.
You lose your heads. Your blood will thicken. Your teeth will fall. You'll feel abandoned. You start to stink and fart and piss, your bowels disbanded. You'll drool from the mouth and sit alone, you'll be stranded. That's the cruelty of living life so good.
Oh my gosh, what? What do you want? I'm trying to record something! Damn it! And yeah, so I had Susie came down in the middle of the song there. Got me a little frustrated.
And that's the nightmare of living with your children. So.
Here you go.
That's the living life so good.
Oh my gosh, what? What do you want? Trying to record something! Damn it! So, anyway.
I'm pretty sure that somewhere in Paul McCartney's home studio, it's like, hey, Jude, na-na. What? What?
The fuck do you want?
What do you want, Julian? Yeah, Paul McCartney's kids were Julian. So
that was a very real moment caught on audio there. Me and my daughter, she's, damn it, what? The fuck? You understand, like, this? Well, I was 30 seconds in, she's like, Dad? What are you doing? Daddy? What? God damn it!
The best thing about this song live is that half the crowd commits suicide during the show.
Yes.
So then they just clean up bodies.
All right, let's hop back into the very end of this movie. We're almost there. So next we see Cam and Seth sitting on the porch just having a nice little afternoon. Cam looks off in the distance and can see the sheriff's car. He goes to investigate, and his brother the whole time is pleading, no, don't go, please don't.
Wait a second, you forgot an important line where he's like, why don't you go play with your friends? They're all dead.
Yes. He does mention that his friends are all dead.
That's also leaves me my second favorite line. It's like, they're dead. Okay, can I go now? Sorry, Newt.
So he goes to investigate, and sure enough, it's his sweet dolphin in the field laying dead as a doornail. Cam breaks down and starts crying at the sight of her, and Seth goes out running into the field, crying into the sky. Realizing he was wrong the whole time, that those guys actually did just abduct him, his friends and Dolphin, and murder them.
I don't think he even thinks that.
You don't even think? What
I
do you think
he's
he
upset
thinks?
Because he knows that his brother's going to die as a vampire now.
Ah, you think that's
it? That's what I really think he's thinking.
Well,
I want 10 more minutes of this, of just him screaming.
By the way, this is uncut. This is just how long he just screams into the sky.
Yes.
And that brings us to an end of the reflecting skin.
You think he's done. He's like, ah! And one more. Ah! Just the extra oomph, you know?
And that's it. Well, see, now your theory, Jeremy, that he's upset because now he knows his brother's a vampire. Well, it doesn't make sense because vampires, if you kill the vampire before you, then you're freed.
He never got that information.
How do you know?
They built it up. They're like, okay, you're still alive if somebody loves you, and at the same time, she's got to feed off of him, but now he's got to feed off the undead or else he's dead. So
now he thinks that he has to feed.
He has to feed or he's dead. Or he's as good as dead because he's already dying.
So the best
they know
thing,
he's dying.
So he Seth was going to be happier if she just lived then.
He was more than happy that with her being killed. You know that she's already dead because he saw her getting driven away by the evil gang.
Okay.
Which leads me to the first part when he sees the blood over her face that he thinks that she's a vampire from the get-go. And it disturbs him that she's got blood on her face, but it looks like she might be enjoying it. So with the frog on her face.
Yeah, I mean, for a lady who likes to finger bang herself when she gets home after a hard day's work, I mean, all of this makes sense in the realm of this world that was created. So, that's the reflecting skin right there.
And the sequel to this is that he tries to find other superheroes by killing everybody on a train.
Okay, so you're trying to say that this is...
More comic books. So.
More comic books. Yeah. Okay, I buy it. Listen, I'm picking up what you're putting down. Overall, Jeremy, this is the last time you'll make a pick for movie for a while.
This was the best pick I've ever picked.
Where do you rank this in the weird realm of movies like River's Edge and David Lynch films?
It's
where do you
definitely
put this?
Definitely my number one.
This is your number one
favorite
weird film.
Probably second only to Eraserhead.
You like this better than that. You like it better than Society. This is it.
Society was rather regular compared to Eraserhead and this.
Yeah, you're right. Eraserhead is a different level of fucking weird.
Yeah, David Lynch just, likes to take it to the nth degree, so.
I didn't mind it. It had its. I thought cinematography wise, it's a beautifully shot movie. It's extra strange. I would have added maybe it's creepy and the imagery is creepy. Could have used the hair more gore or something. It's just I needed one more shock thing in it to really make it work.
The only thing to make a movie more creepy is just raping babies through an entire film.
I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's true.
Well, but, once you've seen your second baby rape, you know you just get used to it.
Golly. So, anyway.
You know it's a movie, so it's not a real rape.
Thanks again for joining us, folks. We'll be back again with another episode soon enough. You can catch all things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. Second Saturday Shit Show is free every second Saturday of the month. I got some cool shows coming up into February. I'm headlining a show with Wendy Townsend soon, so that should be fun. Check all that shit out. Jeremy, we're probably getting geared up for Monster Mania. We have the Ellicott Silly Comedy Festival coming up in March. Keep your eyes tuned and peeled for dates on that. Jeremy, take us out.
I'm keeping the angel.